Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. You know the old little, I don't know if it's a hymn, but a kid's song you probably sang to your children, or you as a child heard it sung to you when you, a few hundred years ago when you were 5, 6. That's the title of the message this morning. Jesus loves the little children. Is Jesus concerned about all sorts of problems? Is he concerned about all sorts of problems? Is he concerned about your problem, your struggle? In chapter 19, we have seen that Jesus is concerned about all types of problems. We've seen that he's concerned about some physical issues in the first couple of verses because Jesus spent time healing. He's concerned about marriage, as we saw in the last couple of sermons. Today, we're going to find that he's concerned about something else, or could we say someone else? Children. Children. Three things to look at today in these three verses. This will be definitely a shorter message. So here we go. The setting. What is the setting? After he had talked about the subject of marriage and divorce, we find in verse number 13 that there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Jesus has continually emphasized in the Gospel of Matthew the subject of children. Childlike faith. Childlike dependence. Entering and living into the kingdom, in the kingdom like a child, is of utmost importance. I think this is tied back to chapter 18. And we've repeated this over and over, but in verses 1 through 4, they asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And he answered by bringing the illustration and the example, and this was a literal child. He had a literal child come to him. He brought that child, he set him in the midst of him, of the disciples, and he said, unless you are converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And unless you live and humble yourself like this little child, verse number 4, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I have repeated over and over, it is not that Jesus is against being great. It's just that his definition of greatness is different than most of ours. Is that the only time he's talked about children? Well, if you go back to chapter 11, slide back just, and this has been a while ago, but if you go back to chapter 11, and he actually talks about two types of children here, and they're completely opposite. He says in verse 16 of Matthew 11, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? Is it like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, their fellow children, and saying, we have piped unto you, we have the music is playing, but we're not dancing. We have mourned, but we're not crying. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he is a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. And this generation, this unbelieving generation, they were spending time doing two of the most common things, a wedding and a funeral, but they weren't following what they should have been doing. They were children who were spoiled. But then he also uses another illustration about children starting in verse 25. And this is the exact opposite. He says, at the time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, small children. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Not unlike the spoiled children of how the religious leaders and how the unbelieving Jews were responding to Jesus, they were responding as spoiled. Here we have submissive children, those who respond, those who recognize themselves as lowly and humble and repentant, submissive children. He goes on to say, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, you submissive children. The ones that are going to come are going to be submissive. They're going to realize they are needy. They are dependent. They have childlike faith. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He was talking to those who had that which God had revealed through him as babes. Now, was Jesus the only one that ever talked about children and childlike faith in the scriptures? You heard it this morning if you were here in Sunday school. God doesn't pick off usually from the wise of this world. Remember what James writes? Well, we're going to find out tonight, but I'll read it to you. We're going to begin to understand what James writes in chapter 2. Listen to this verse. James chapter 2, verse 5. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? The poor, the dependent, the humble. How did he start the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Back here in Matthew chapter 19, we have the Lord Jesus in this setting, and there were some children that were coming, and they were being brought by their parents, as we're going to see in just a moment. The synoptic gospels all record a version of this story, and I think that emphasizes its importance. And so I have a question for you today. Who cares about children? Many times we view children as, well, could we say, unimportant buggers who kind of get in the way. Maybe they're annoying little tykes, troublemakers, time wasters, crybabies, whiners, not very helpful. You get the point. And it's certainly at one time or another, you thought the same thing about your children. Or maybe your parents thought it about you. Maybe we could say it this way. Would they ever grow up? I've said it a few times, if not a few hundred times. And not that we're looking that our children grow up too fast. They do in some sense. Before you know it, you know, it goes from born to one to, you know, well, born to a month, to 6 months, to a year, to 5 years. But when we're talking about this, I think we're talking about their, not their physical stature, but more about their maturity level. And we just kind of think that sometimes they just aren't figuring it out. So would they ever mature? Would they ever be worthy of being called an adult? Have you ever thought that about your child? Are they ever going to grow up? One day, soon after Jesus' important discussion on marriage and divorce, we find that a handful of children were brought by their parents to see him. The words little children here in the verse and in the Greek is the word paideion and refers to small children. If we look at the Luke's account, we find that he mentions the word infant, brephos, which refers to newborn babies. So the question that I have for us today is, why would Matthew and Mark and Luke record this short little story? And what does it have of any importance to us today? And maybe we could say is this question, why bring these children and babies to Jesus? Certainly, if you think about all the other, just about most of the other healings and other things that Jesus has done, it has to do with older children, perhaps, and adults. But here we have these little children, these young toddlers even, coming and being brought. And the verse tells us why. It's so that Jesus would put his hands on them and pray. It's for the purpose of prayer and a blessing. Look at Mark chapter 10, the parallel passage here. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. It's interesting that Mark says something very specific. Mark 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. He should lay his hands on them. And his disciples rebuke those that brought them. Well, Jesus cares about all sorts of people. And as we see here today, that Jesus, as compared to his disciples, cared much more about these children than they did. And I'm wondering today if Jesus was trying to teach his disciples a lesson. He had told them in the recent days, or if not the recent weeks, that children in the spiritual realm was of utmost importance. And how, here they were in a physical setting. These children were coming. And notice the disciples are not going to care much about them. At least that's what it seems to me. And so these parents desired to bring their children to Jesus. They were attracted to Jesus, not only for his healing, because the purpose here was not for healing in this passage, whereas others it may have been, but it was for his blessing. Why would they do that? Here's the reason why I believe they would do it. It's because they knew that this one who was claiming to be Messiah, this one who could heal their children, this one who had preached the great sermons, this one who had done amazing things and miracles, he cared about even the children. Do you? They saw in the Lord Jesus someone who had grace and showed mercy to those who would come near him. And let me tell you today that children probably weren't considered the upper echelon of society at this time. Frankly, I'm wondering if anything has changed in our society. A society that says babies aren't important, let's just kill them. A society that says, I don't care about the little child. So often I hear verses pulled out of context by the liberals in this society. And they will pull one or two verses that say certain things to make it meet their standard and say, oh, you Christians need to be like your, say, like Jesus. I think it would do us well to point them to this chapter and say, Jesus cared about the children, so why don't you? The question for us today, though, is do we care like Jesus about children? Oh, not to necessarily bless them, per se. I don't think you're going to bring your children to me so I can touch them. But how about to pray for them? Is there not a more important task that a parent could do than to pray for his or her own children? I can't think of one. You might say, well, to point them to the scriptures and to, but I think that the best work that a parent can do for not only his children, but those children that he knows and the children that we know is to pray for them. And so what Jesus was demonstrating when the children were brought by these parents was to show that the most caring, compassionate thing that he could do was not just to bless them. And of course, we understand that because of who he was, he could do that, but to pray for them, to love them, to compassionately care for them. That's who Jesus was. And I wonder if sometimes today we get so concerned about all that's going on that we begin to forget about the unimportant people, so to speak. Because I think the children here are likened to the unimportant of society. I think that's why this passage is here for us. But you know, not all everybody demonstrated love like Jesus, including those who were closest to him. Look here. Number two, we have not just the setting, that's the background, but number two, we have the stoppage. We have a group of people who want to put a stop to this. Now, you might think the religious leaders would be the ones that are wanting to put a stop to this. They don't want the children near Jesus. We could come up with some good reasons why that would be, but that's not who's wanting to put a stop to it. Look here at verse 13, the second part, and it says, the disciples rebuke them. We now find the disciples unhappy because these parents were bringing their children to Jesus. And Matthew writes that they rebuked the parents. The words rebuked means to denounce or reprove. Means to denounce or reprove. They said to the parents, oh, no, you don't. Get away. They rebuked them. We don't want you. Why would they do this? Why would they rebuke the parents? We just read that also in Mark chapter 10. Why would they do this? I have a few thoughts. The text doesn't necessarily indicate exactly why. But I think it's perhaps they didn't think that Jesus had time for these little buggers. I mean, he was busy doing the big things, right? He was busy about healing people, blessing these little babies. You know, you put those two together and side by side, it doesn't really add up. Jesus has, he's got sermons to preach. I mean, he's just told and placed the Pharisees back into their place here earlier in this chapter. I mean, and he's been healing people and he's been teaching. I mean, his teaching in chapter 18. Oh, wait a second. His teaching in chapter 18 actually corresponds to what we have here. But for some reason, the disciples had forgotten about it. He had just talked to them about children and about being great. And now the disciples are saying, you go away. But that's not how Jesus responded. Perhaps they felt he had more important things to attend to. Perhaps they viewed the children as being insignificant. Whatever the reason was, they rebuked these parents. They said, essentially, stop this. Jesus has more important things to do. Maybe the disciples wondered, why do these children even need to see the Lord in the first place? His ministry was it's for adults. It's for the older people. Now, some of that's surmising, but we get the sense in this scripture that the disciples didn't want to have any part of these children coming to Jesus. But had not the Lord Jesus sometime earlier, as we have referred to this morning, talked about the importance of children? And you know, I wonder if we are not so like the disciples. We learn some things out of the scripture. The Holy Spirit teaches us, and then it seems like a few weeks later, we quickly forget it. The disciples thought they would save their master from the interruption and the irritation by turning away the children, but they actually showed they did not have the mind of Christ. They did not have the humble mind that Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2. They had not yet learned it. And I think they were showing their pride. And here was a real life application of what Jesus had been teaching them. You want to be the greatest, you need to humble yourself like a child. And one of the demonstrations is treating a physical child coming to me in a good way and accepting them. And here all they said is, I rebuke you, parents, get away. Jesus wanted to bless and pray for them. They were angrily turning them away. And I wonder if we are not any different than when we don't have time to pray for others. How can we apply this short little couple of verses to our own lives? To stop and to spend time with those less fortunate. And in this society, those who were less fortunate were the children. No question, history has told us that. That in this day, children were very unimportant. We've seen on our Sunday school videos about in Philippi, where in the city of Rome, that if a baby wasn't wanted, the father could make the decision. Just say, you know what, we don't want this baby, and then they'd take him out to the outside of the city and leave him to die. Children were considered unimportant. And when we stay in our, just in our little groups of Christians, and we look with disdain on young believers who may be coming to Christ with raw physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, and they come with unpolished prayers, and we think, oh man, we don't really want to be a part of that. They don't even know how to pray. And we can act, we can easily act indifferent towards those who Jesus considers important. And I believe Jesus considered the children important here. You know, I think James is going to address this in James chapter 2. Because when the poor came in the church and a rich man came into the church, the poor got put in the less better location and the rich got in the good location. And here we see an example that Jesus desired to spend time with these children. And what we may think is unimportant, God can always use. What we may think is unimportant, we may think a child is just never going to get it, or a person in the church who's really immature is never going to get it. We should never underestimate the power that God can give to somebody who seems a little unimportant. Seems a little, dare I say, use this word, dumb. One of the things that I've tried to do in the ministry here is to remember and look at everybody that God can use them in some way. They may not be as smart as you or as you think you are. They may have a hair color that's different than you and that bothers you, or maybe they don't have any hair at all. But let me tell you today, God has chosen the weak, and he is willing to use them. In fact, he uses them more than anybody else. So what, who we may think is unimportant, who we might think is struggling right now, if you would take some time to pray with them, to encourage them, to point them, they may need to be discipled, but to show the way, to speak into their life, a word of encouragement, maybe all of their life they've heard the opposite. Let me tell you today, we have young people in this congregation that have the potential to be used mightily for God and his kingdom. In fact, every single one of them. And I remember, and I wasn't a young person per se, I wasn't, you know, a 10-year-old, but I remember when I was young in maturity level, Hank Hopes came up to me and said, I think you have the potential to be a pastor someday. And I kind of laughed at him because I thought he was out of his mind. And I don't think Hank Hopes believed in me, but he believed that Jesus could use me and that God could use me. There are some days I doubt and wonder if God can use me. But I go back and I remember the times and the verses that Hank brought me to, and it was Exodus chapters 3 and 4, the ones I love so dearly today, about the burning bush, and about Moses who said he couldn't speak, and about the name Jehovah, Yahweh, that was given to him. And when God is on your side, and when God is with you, it doesn't matter how dumb you think you are, or what color hair you have, or what idiosyncrasies, or what struggles you might have, God can use you. And I know because God can use some fishermen and some tax collectors. Children. Thirdly, we see the sympathy. Not just the setting, not just the stoppage, but thirdly today, verses 14 and 15, let's look at the sympathy. Let's look and see how Jesus responded here. Jesus said, suffer, little children, not suffer like we think suffer today. It's not the best word here in our modern time. We'll explain what it is in just a moment. And forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus firmly responds to the disciples. Turn back to Mark chapter 10. Let's look how Mark describes it here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 14. So responding to the disciples rebuking the parents that were bringing these children, in verse 13 he says, when Jesus saw it, he was, notice this language, much displeased. The words much displeased means indignant, angry. Now, Jesus never sinned. We all believe that. So this anger was righteous anger, if we could use that term. I don't think the scriptures ever use that term, righteous anger, but it was right anger because he didn't sin. He was upset. He was indignant with these people, with the disciples, against their wrongdoing, I believe. It says that he was much displeased, and he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. Now you understand what Jesus was trying to say when he said, suffer, permit. That word means permit. Allow. Allow these children to come into my arms. Don't stop them, Jesus said. And he connects these little ones to the kingdom of heaven because his heart yearned for them. His heart yearns for you as well. And he says these children are like the children that come into the kingdom because they're dependent. They need me. They're a representation of what you, the disciples, should be. Have I not just told you that in chapter 18? Now, he didn't say those words because it wasn't a chapter 18. But hadn't I just said that to you? Oh, Jesus is patient with us, isn't he? We get taught things, and then we just a few weeks later, we just don't. We go right back. And he has taught these disciples what this is. He's taught them about what it means to be a child. He's taught them about humility. So here comes a real live example of some real children, and they say, get out of our way. You're just slowing us down. You're just in our way. Go away. Jesus says, no, let him come, because here's a picture of what it means to come into the kingdom. And so he connects these little ones to the kingdom. And he had compassion for them. Everywhere Jesus went, Jesus had a heart of compassion. Do you? Do I? And I believe Jesus wanted to have this illustration. He accepted these children because they are symbols, if I could say this, of faith and trust and dependence in him. That's what Mark tells us. You know, I don't know for sure. Commentators are back and forth on this. Some referred to this, others didn't mention it at all. But I'll just throw this out here. I wonder if there's a connection between what he had just discussed about marriage and then he discusses children. Because marriage has its fruits in the children that are produced from it. Let me quote you one commentator. He says, it is fitting that our Lord's teaching about marriage should be followed by his blessing of the children. For children are the happy heritage of those who are married. Jesus did not look on the children as a curse or a burden. Two shall become one flesh is fulfilled in the birth of children, and the love of the parents is deepened and matured as it is shared with others in the home. But let me tell you something today that I think, outside of prayer and praying for your children, I think the greatest lesson that I have learned about having children is that I am a selfish person. And if there is something that God wants us to learn from our children, it is that we need to learn to be selfless. I don't know how many times when my kids were really young, I picked up after them. Or that I did things for them. We find out about who we are when we have children. Now, I'm not saying that our kids shouldn't do things. They need to learn responsibility. They need to learn how to work. They need to learn integrity. They need to learn honesty. They need to learn about who God is and all the character that he is, and his faithfulness and his mercy and his grace and his love and his compassion. They need to learn all of that, and that's our job to teach them. But the reality is, when they're sick and throwing up, they're not going to clean up after themselves. I learn about myself when I desire to pick up after them.
when they have throw up all over the floor. I find out about myself when I keep having to repeat over and over the same things. And then I realize, I wonder if that's how Jesus feels when I don't listen to him. How many times has he had to repeat to me, "You are strong when you are weak"? How many times has he had to repeat to me, and you can fill in the blank of the things that you struggle with, "I've told you to be grateful for everything, and you keep complaining"? I need to respond with self-control, but yet you respond with anger. You see, children are where we learn about ourselves. And we learn about humility when we have children. I think you as parents understand that. You understand what that means, and you as children will understand that when you become parents. So Jesus says, let him come. Let this be an illustration. Let this be a testimony to you, disciples, not to turn them away, but this is what you need to become. This is how you need to live, he says to them. And so Jesus was demonstrating not only the importance of children and childlike faith, but also of living with a humble servant attitude. And let me tell you today, that is the thing that I believe we can demonstrate. And obviously love coincides with this. But I think one of the things that we can demonstrate to a lost world is how you humbly serve not only them, but your own family. Your children. The people around you. Your parents. As they grow older. How many times have we heard where rifts come in Christian relationships, and the adult children stop talking to their parents because, for whatever reason, Christians now we're talking about. But I think it's our responsibility to take care of our parents as they get older. But also, I think the Lord is trying to teach us here today about humbly serving others. And that is a testimony when we choose to humbly serve others. That will speak volumes of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Ian Campbell says in his book, his commentary on Matthew, quote, "This incident with the little children again illustrates the childlike nature of kingdom life. By blessing the children, Jesus shows himself to be interested in all levels of society," unquote. The disciples, who think Jesus is too busy to devote time to children, receive his rebuke and have to learn again that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as they, such as those children. So who is the greatest in the kingdom? The least. Disciples either refused to believe this early on, or they struggled to comprehend that truth. But the lowly position was the key to what Jesus wanted the disciples and us, I believe, by application, to be a model for discipleship. And let me tell you, those who I know the best as we close here today, those who I consider Christians that I know personally, when I look at those around me who I say are living out the Christian faith, I don't think often about the people that are in the high places. I think about those who are serving in distant lands. I think about those who are willing to turn wrenches on people's cars and not receive anything in return, to do it cheerfully. Those who are willing to give, maybe it's just $5 because that's all you got extra to give to somebody who is in great need. I see it as those who are willing to help others in need, even if it's a little bit. And I realize they've learned the secret of what greatness means, not because their name is great, but because they just humbly serve behind the scenes. They pray, they care, they love, they witness. Or not because they want to make a name for themselves, but because they want to live out the real Christian life. Does Jesus love the little children? I think we can answer yes. Do you love the little children of the world? And how do we respond to the little children of the world?